As you can see, we are still a little bit decorated for Vacation Bible School. We had Vacation Bible School last Sunday evening through Thursday evening this past week. We had a pretty decent turnout. We had a great group of kids. We had a even better group of workers. I'm not going to go into any details on numbers and figures and anything like that this morning. If you want to know that, you have to come back tonight. Tonight is the final Vacation Bible School program. If you've never been to a closing Vacation Bible School program, come tonight. You will be glad that you came. You don't want to miss it. The kids have been kind of preparing some songs all week long. I know Miss Rhonda and Miss Janet have kind of been going over the kids' music with them. They've got some, I believe, some action and some motions that go with the song, so none at all. So come tonight. If you have a child that was a part of Vacation Bible School or you were a worker, please try to be here around 5:45 tonight. That way we can kind of get things a little organized and set up and ready for 6 o'clock when the service actually starts. Also tonight, there's supposed to be a vision committee meeting prior to service. That is being postponed in order that some of those workers can get ready for Vacation Bible School. That meeting will actually be next week, because next week is Father's Day. So we'll let you know exactly when that vision committee meeting will be held. Tonight, if you are a part of the SDMI committee, we will meet directly following the service. It should be a quick meeting, so if you are part of SDMI, please be here for that meeting. Then tomorrow evening, if you are a part of the church board, regular scheduled monthly meeting is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Men's softball. We fell last week to 2-3. It was kind of a rough game. But we're excited. Hey, we're 2-3. That's not far from 500. So 6:45 this coming Tuesday. Be there. Support the team. I know a lot of you have come and supported the team. It has been great having you guys come out and support us. 6:45 on Tuesday evening. Then this Wednesday, we'll be back to our regular scheduled Wednesday night Bible study. Children and teens will also meet at 6:30. If you have a child that is wanting to go to camp, your camp registration and $25 deposit are due on Wednesday evening. If you have a little bit of trouble coming up with the funds for camp, we do have scholarships that we can put towards your child. See Pastor Gary or Pastor Jill, and they can get you some more information on that. But children's camp registration is due Wednesday. $25 is also due on Wednesday. If you are part of the Giggles Ladies Council, 6:15 Thursday night here at the church. Your meeting will be here at the church. And then lastly, the memorial service for Adrian Carlson will be here at the church at 1:30 on Saturday. Also another thing, sorry, I almost forgot to mention this. Potluck with the pastor is scheduled for June the 20th. That is the day that everyone will be leaving for district assembly. Is it?
Pastor Don will already be at General
Assembly. And so we might have to rearrange some scheduling for that as well. As that date gets closer, we will let you seniors know. If you want, you can just have lunch with me that day. We can just forget about Pastor Gary. As long as you bring pie and deviled eggs, we're all good, right? All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and continue with our greeting time this morning. If y'all would, go ahead and stand. Find someone that you maybe haven't seen in a while. Shake their hand and let them know how glad you are to see this morning.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I've got a couple of things I want to share with you. We had some prayer requests come through this week, and one of them is for the African region. They're requesting our prayers for the North. I'm not sure how this is pronounced. Kivu area. It's the Democratic Republic of Congo, and there they have had a war breakout, I guess is what you want to call it. Rebels have gone against the government, and many of their church members have had to leave their homes. They are sleeping in some of their schools and some of our churches, and two primary schools are full of displaced people because of this, and the situation is very catastrophic. So they want us to remember that. If you think of Africa this week, be sure and pray for them and all the people who are suffering because of this war, and for God to intervene in this fighting, in this situation, and help them be able to possibly return back to what life, the best possible life for them can be. And then I found another thing here in our prayer request that the Africa region requested prayer for, and I thought these were all very good no matter where we live, even for us. And these are what this is what the region has requested us to remember that to pray for, that every Nazarene is dependent upon God only, that every Nazarene is a spirit-filled disciple. Pray that every Nazarene disciple maker is a disciple maker with a real burden for the lost. Pray for every Nazarene giving authority to God's word. Pray for every Nazarene to be an extraordinary prayer. Pray-er. Every Nazarene leader is faithful to God, family, and church. That every Nazarene leader building leaders who would build leaders to change the world. Let me repeat that. I kind of got that twisted up here. That every Nazarene leader building leaders would build leaders who change the world. And I thought about that a lot this week as I was thinking about Bible school and all of us here working and leading Bible school. I hope that's what we were doing this week, that we were building leaders in the lives of these kids that they might become leaders who change the world. Pray that every Nazarene pastor would be an effective minister of the word, and pray that every Nazarene home would be a nursery for holiness champions, and that every Nazarene local church experiences a real movement of the Holy Spirit. So I think we can pray for these for ourselves, for our city, our state, our nation, and every place around the world besides just Africa.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. Take a moment to say how much we appreciate your support as we journeyed to Moore, Oklahoma, and worked among the wreckage and all of the things that took place there. We did have one moment of excitement the first morning we were there. I woke up to this thunderous boom, and I looked up and the safety light that comes on when the electricity goes off was bright red and lit up, and then the TV right above my head came on and began flashing these little squares on it from a power surge that a storm had brought. Now, if you're in an area that's been devastated by a tornado and you wake up to that kind of sound, you begin to wonder just a little what you're doing there. But God was with us. We did some work in both Moore, Oklahoma, and in El Reno, Oklahoma, where the tornado hit on Friday night before we were there on Monday. So a lot of excitement, a lot of tears, a lot of broken hearts, a lot of destroyed homes, but God's still God. God's still on the throne. Again, we thank you for your support. We had 27 people from across our district that made up our team that went down there. So God is good even in the circumstances that are not so good. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Brian, would you come and pray for our offering?
Dear God, we are thankful to be here. It's been a busy week with the VBS going on, and we're just so appreciative of all the kids and the workers and just everyone that's come out to do this ministry. We just pray that the words and the lessons that the kids received this week may be remembered for a long time. Watch over this money and help it to go to just the various needs. You know where they need. In your name we pray, amen.
Because no matter what storm you're going through, we have an anchor that we can hold on to that's steadfast and it's true. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 6:19. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? Thank you.
To know that God is always near. He helps us along the way. All the things I'm sure that Pastor Don encountered with our team and more, trying to be there and be the hands and feet of Jesus to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. He shared with me just how traumatic it was as people are trying to go through their items and they're trying to decide, do I keep this or do I throw it away when it's been something that's been meaningful, but the weather's destroyed it or messed it up. Sometimes there are not words to say. Sometimes it's just a matter of being present. And God doesn't always speak to us in such an audible way that we just have that specific direction, but we can always sense His presence. And then there are times that He speaks to us very clearly through His Word, through others. And as we come to these prayer times, wonderful to be intercessors and to pray for others and to lift them up. I don't know about you, but it's good for me just to know that I'm in the presence of Jesus. And His arms of love are wrapped around me, and that He has asked me as my Father to occupy space in His lap if I need to, for Him to comfort me and to encourage me. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to be mindful and pray for our closing program tonight. There perhaps will be people here that are not normally here, and we want the opportunity to have them to hear the good news and to feel God's presence. And hopefully we've had an impact on their children's lives. And then in particular this morning, Don and Juanita Brandstein have had to leave after Sunday school, and Juanita will undergo surgery tomorrow morning. And so she's going to have her gallbladder removed, and we want to be sure and remember Juanita. And her physical strength is not so great these days, and certainly it takes a lot to endure surgery and things. And so we want to pray for God's miracle hand to be upon her, to touch her, to help her, and to pray for the extended family as well. I know you might have a little concern where that is at, Bruce, and so we pray for you and your family as well. And then a good friend of mine and of many of you, because some of you actually had him as a pastor. And Brother Don Carlson is in the hospital with pancreatitis. And I don't know what you know about that. I don't know a lot about it, but I also know that I had another pastor friend, Donnie Blansett, that was in the hospital with it several years ago and nearly died of it. And so it can be serious, but hopefully they've caught it early on and we'll be able to deal with it. He is in room 417 at Cox South. And so please pray for Don as he is in the hospital there. He's now on staff at Springfield Community Church of the Nazarene. And he and Chris are wonderful people. And so you pray for them. And there's just a whole myriad of things that are here. My sister Sue is going through some challenging times with her health right now, as well as trying to support her husband Max as he's battling cancer. And Sister Joanne, of course, last week we heard did not receive such a great report. And so we continue to pray that her new chemo will be effective for her. And so still some of these folks really struggling with these battles with cancer and some other things. And we pray for them that God will touch and help. And several things that we continue to lift up as prayer needs in our bulletin there. Let's stand together. We're going to sing together. The altars are open to you if you have need of them for praise or petition, whatever the case might be. You feel free to come and find a place to meet with your God this morning. And then we'll lift our voices in prayer after we sing.
Pastor, can I have a
yes.
request of prayer? And it just kind of just overflowed, and I can't not say it. I know we've played for Lane for many, many months, but I think right now we need to hold Samantha up.
Okay.
I think she's struggling spiritually as well as dealing with everything else, and I think we need to remember her in prayer.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Janet. All right, let's see.
Come, let us worship him.
Anytime God's people are trying to do something for God, the enemy's never far away trying to distract and distort and discourage and those kinds of things. And I appreciate, Janet, you're reminding us of the battle sometimes with the family members, that these various ones that have had sickness, those who are their caregivers and those who are trying to lend support, they grow weary in well-doing sometimes. And they need our prayers as well. But even in our Bible school this week, while we had a great week and we had a lot of exciting things that we're going to be sharing with you tonight, I know there were some times of discouragement. I know our director went through some times of discouragement. I know that some of our staff went through some challenges. And you know, the enemy, he'll just take anything he can, try to make a big deal out of it. Do you know what? Everything is small to God in the sense that He can't handle it. God can handle it. It may be big in our lives. Anytime we go through trauma or there's pain or those kind of things, it can be traumatic for us and it can seem big to us. What I'm trying to say to you is even the things that are big to us are not as big to God in the sense of the difficulty He has in dealing with them. He is more than able. He can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. He's bigger than any of our problems. Greater than any of our fears. He indeed has the answers to our questions and the solutions to our problems. We go to Him this morning in that confidence because He said to us, come boldly with confidence into the throne room. Let's do that this morning. Father, we thank You for this day and the privilege of being in Your house and in Your presence. We thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit who indwells us, who fills us to overflowing with Your love and compassion. Lord, we thank You that You have gifted us all differently and that your Holy Spirit is able to compensate in our weaknesses and indeed enhance the strengths that you've given us as gifts. But Lord, we're still human beings. We're still in the journey. We're still in the growth process. And we know that the enemy tries to play upon our humanity even when he can, if he has no internal foothold from a carnal perspective. So Lord, we want to follow that passage of scripture that says, just don't give place to the devil. We know that you are greater than he is. We know that you see things that he can't see. You can do things he can't do. And so, Lord, don't let us get caught up in the devil's perspective. But, Lord, help us to see things through your eyes, to see people as you see them, to respond with grace and mercy and forgiveness and love, to be people that offer second chances, that have patience, that are kind and gentle, and yet hold to a standard. Lord, we have difficulty with that sometimes, but you don't. And Lord, we read repeatedly through your scripture where you were compassionate to people, and yet you stated where the lines were at. You gave us direction. And so, Father, today we pray that your word will continue to do that for us, that it will show us where the lines are at. It'll help us, Father, to walk as you walked. And Lord, all along the way, as we encounter difficulties, whether it's our own failures or the failures of others, help us to be open and able to receive your grace, but then allow that grace to flow through us into the life of others. Lord, we pray for these who are battling these awful diseases, how it affects their children sometimes, and that really gets to us because we don't know how to help. We do everything we can, and we're helpless at some points. So, Father, we pray for Samantha. We pray for Sue. We pray for Juanita, who's going to have surgery in the morning. Lord, we know that the enemy would try to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what you've told us in your word. But we know that you have overcome the world and that we can live in peace because of that. Lord, help us to be overcomers as well. Help us to be greater than the problem with your help. Lord, help us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Help us to know that your grace is sufficient for every need. Lord, we could go on and on and on. You've told us so many things in your word, given us so many promises. Lord, help us to claim the word today. And by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and by the authority of the word of God, Satan, we rebuke you. We have no place for you. You're not welcome here or in the lives of our people or our families. And so, Father, we pray a hedge of protection and your guardian angels around our people. Bless their lives. Touch them where they need physical touches. Provide for them financially. There are those who are looking for jobs right now. We pray that you'd open doors of opportunity for them. But most of all, today, Lord Jesus, most of all, our greatest need is to be right with you. And Father, we pray that in the course of this service that you'll help us to just look within ourselves. And Lord, if there's something that's not like you or somewhere where we're not where we ought to be, give us the courage and the strength to move where you want us to be. And may you make us all you gave us the potential to be. And for that, we'll be eternally grateful. Have the assurance of a home in heaven. And try our best to praise and honor you with our lives. We love you and we thank you for loving us first. In the powerful and precious name of Jesus, we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Don't forget your Bible, Janet. What are we going to do these days? We put up screens and tell people to turn off their cell phones, and if they do, they can't read their Bible. Well, it's an interesting age of technology, isn't it? And technology is great when it works. When it doesn't, then it can be quite frustrating. And I got on the website last week after the service to check and make sure video was up. And, you know, now I know why they go to great lengths in television productions to work on the backdrops. Because looking at this behind me on the website is much more exciting than three rows of choir chairs. And so again, thanks to our teens, thanks to all of the people who worked on preparing the decorations. We've had a great time. You can see some people have even decided to camp out. And indeed, you'll have to come back tonight and find out what that is all about. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I indeed had intended to share something different with you this morning, but God impressed upon me this passage of Scripture in the course of some devotional reading this week. And indeed, it fits into the message that our children have been involved in, our workers all week, talking about the message of Paul and how he wanted to share his faith and what God had done in his life. And indeed, you need to come tonight because Paul will make an appearance. And he will share with you a testimony, and that'll be exciting. And there'll be other people that'll be coming and going. And then, of course, your children and grandchildren will do things that will make you smile and pull your hair out maybe. We never know with the kids. You just never know what's going to happen. But we have a good time, and indeed, it'll be a great program tonight, so we encourage you to come. All this past week, they have focused on Paul and his ministry. The letter that I want us to read from this morning is the book of Colossians, a letter to the church at Colossae. More than likely, this letter was penned after kind of the things that we studied, some of them this week in Bible school. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he was writing some letters out to the churches that he had been involved with in his three missionary journeys and trying to give advice to them. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's so nice when somebody calls me and says, I need such and such a document. And I can say, oh, okay. And I get on my scanner and I put the document in my scanner and I scan it and I turn it into a PDF file. I get their email address. I click on it. And within 10 seconds, that document is where I want it to go, and they can take care of that business. It didn't work that way when Paul wrote this stuff. It took it a minute or two to get from where he was to where he was going. And the interesting thing is while he was trying to deal with the problems in the church, who knows what might have happened in the 2 or 3 months it might have taken to get where it was going. You know, the problems might have changed or things might be different. But indeed, we through history, as Paul dealt with the problems and the issues in these various churches, we certainly are the benefactors and the recipients of this great message that as Paul spoke to us. But isn't it interesting that even though it was a different culture, a different time period, a different generation, a different nationality of people, that people are people? And as Paul wrote these letters about the problems that existed in the church in those days, isn't it interesting that those same problems very often exist in churches today? People are still people. They still come into this life in a difficult predicament. God still wants to be involved in their lives and help them. And indeed, there is the assurance of something better to come after this life is over. And those things are pretty fundamental and haven't changed much. And a lot of the relationships between people and things that happen, while they may be a little bit different with environment, basically within the person, they are the same. And Paul spoke this message, this letter, as he shared with the church at Colossae. And it's still good for us today. Let's read together Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And this gospel, this
message is still the same today. It is the gospel that we proclaim. It is the message that we share. It is indeed the solution to people's spiritual predicament in this life. And Paul very simplistically and concisely described it in this series of verses when he talked about the fact that first, that we have been alienated from God. If you were to go into a dictionary, and they somewhat are different as you find different dictionaries, but basically the definition of the word alienated means to make hostile where friendship had previously existed. And so we need to understand every person, as they begin to think about their relationship or lack of it, or their understanding of God, they need to come to that place to realize that when man was created on this earth, there was a perfect relationship between God and His creation. Everything was great until God said, you shouldn't do this. Now, isn't it interesting? If you have raised any children, how many of you have experienced at some point in time when you say to a child, you shouldn't do this, that's exactly where they go. There's something about that. There's something within our makeup that says, I'm my own person. I'm my own boss. I'm going to do things my own way. Yes, I know that you've already been here for a long time. And you've already experienced a lot of things. That really doesn't matter to me. You're you. I'm me. I'm going to do what I want. And so, think of all the things of creation and all the things that God gave man to do. He's talking to him about naming animals and figuring out all this stuff and giving him all this stuff to care for. And he said, you've got a lot of stuff to do here, but the one thing you shouldn't do is go eat of the tree there. So what's he do? He decides on his first break, he's going to go eat the fruit of the tree he's not supposed to. What is it with us? Why is that there? I don't know. I can't explain it to you. I can't get into the philosophical things of how did evil become present. I don't know all that. You know, I don't know if somewhere in God's creation, as He put the whole thing together, in order for us to recognize good, evil has to be there to give us the opposite spectrum. I don't know how that all works. I just know that it is. And I believe that God, in His infinite wisdom, knew exactly what He was doing. And had we followed God's direction, everything would have been hunky-dory. But the problem is, we went the opposite way. And when God said, don't do that, that is exactly what we did. And because of Adam and Eve making that decision, then every person who's ever been born from that time on, which would be everybody, because Adam and Eve were here first, every person has been alienated from that perfect relationship that God instituted in the garden because our parents fell, because they sinned, because they disobeyed. It put all of the rest of us for all of history into this predicament of being hostile to God where friendship had previously existed. Now, we know that man immediately knew that because when we read in Genesis, we know that man hid himself in the garden when God came around in the Eden. We know that Adam and Eve hid. Well, why would they need to hide unless they were trying to stay away from somebody they thought had authority over them? They knew they'd messed up. And isn't it interesting how when your children mess up, they kind of hide? And kids really, it's really very good analogy, because have you ever noticed that when kids hide, all that matters is they can't see you. Because if they can't see you, you can't see them. At least they think. That's why you can hide in the middle of the living room floor. All you have to do is squat down, bury your head in the carpet, cover your eyes, and you're invisible to everybody and everything. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were at. And when He said to Adam, where are you? It wasn't because He didn't know. It was because He wanted Adam to face up to his situation. And in the simple good news of the gospel, Paul starts at that point. You're alienated from God. If we look over in Romans chapter 5, In Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, we read these words. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And we're going to talk about what Jesus did in just a moment. But that verse describes it was by Adam's disobedience that all of us were made sinners. We don't get a choice. How many of you would like to have an inheritance? How many of you would love to be able to just get an inheritance, not have to work anymore the rest of your life, get an inheritance? I'm pretty sure that those people whose grandma or mom who was 80-some years old and just won like 30-some million or 300-some million or something this past week, I'm pretty sure they're thinking they're going to get an inheritance. What if grandma gives it all away before they get there? Well, we got an inheritance. The sad thing is, what Adam and Eve left us wasn't a real bowl of porridge. You know, they left us in a tough situation. We were alienated from God. As we read in that same book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Because we are born with this fallen nature, we are rebellious. We don't want people to tell us what to do, not even God. Isn't it interesting that we want God to bail us out when we get in trouble? We just don't want God to tell us how not to get in trouble in the first place. And we're kind of like that with our parents. You know, we do stuff they told us not to do because they said, if you do this, this is what will happen. We're going to do it anyway. Guess what? Here we are. It happened. Okay, you were right, so bail me out now because that'll just prove more how more right you were. And we kind of treat God the same way. We're alienated. We didn't get a choice. We just inherited this fallen nature. So it is what it is. Every person who's born into this life is alienated, made hostile to God because of the sin that lives within us and is power over our lives. But the good news is that while we were once alienated, the scripture goes on to say that we are now reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The word reconcile means to cause to be friendly or harmonious again. We were once friendly but made hostile. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been caused to be friendly again. It's an interesting thing here what takes place because Jesus paid the price for us. Jesus bore the penalty of our sins. And Jesus has given to us the opportunity to escape what is certainly the consequence of our being alienated from God. But because we are reconciled, we can be in right relationship to God again. Read with me from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Reconciliation. What a great message. All the stuff that used to be isn't anymore because somebody else took care of the problem and I become the recipient and I didn't even have to do anything. Somebody paid the price. Have any of you ever been the recipient of going in someplace? This has not happened to me on a lot of occasions, but a few occasions, without my knowledge. I've been invited to go eat with people before and those kind of things. But there's been a couple of rare occasions in my life where I would be in a restaurant and step to the counter to pay my bill, and they would say, it's already been paid. I hadn't eaten dinner with anybody. I didn't recognize that there was anybody in the restaurant I knew. But somebody either that I missed or knew me that I didn't know or whatever, generously paid the price for me. I enjoyed all the delicious food. I had the fellowship with whoever I was with, and it didn't cost me anything. In reconciling us through His blood on the cross, Jesus paid the price. We became the recipient. We enjoyed all the blessing, benefit, and bounty. He did all the work and bore all the pain. We have become friendly with God again by accepting what Jesus did on the cross. And when we accept what Jesus did on the cross, the privileges that become ours, the benefits that become ours, are that we are freed from the penalty of sin. We no longer have to die and go to hell. We are freed from the pain of sin because we change our lives and we act differently. Very often, it changes some of the difficulties that we go through. We don't have to endure some of the things that we would have endured if we had been living for the devil instead of for God. And thirdly, it changes and frees us from the power of sin because it casts the devil out of our life. He no longer has an internal place as we are sanctified holy in Jesus Christ. And he's placed on the outside and he has to again tempt us from the place of our humanity, not because he has an advantage of a carnal internal foothold. So we receive great privilege. But understand, what do we know to be true in this life? With great privilege comes what? Great responsibility. And the scripture says that we are ambassadors of Christ. So while we have now been taken away from being alienated and we have now become reconciled in the process of being reconciled to God, we are now Christ's ambassadors. And because He is at the right hand of the Father and the Father is in heaven, while the Holy Spirit is present, He is invisible. And so we become the visibility of God to everyone else who needs Him. We are now ambassadors of Christ. I don't know how much you know about ambassadors. We hear about ambassadors basically in the political scheme of things representing our country. And indeed, that's what happens. Ambassadors are people who go reside in another country to represent our country. They go there to be on the authority of our country, to give the message of our country. They represent our country, and their mission is to bring peace between that country and our country. That's why we're here. We're here to spread the message. We're here to tell about the Prince of Peace and to bring peace into people's lives who are living in chaos and turmoil when they're under the control of sin. We are Christ's ambassadors. We have the opportunity, having received Jesus Christ into our heart and lives, we now have the opportunity to share that great message with those we come in contact with, to be a living example of what God can do in a person's life, what He desires to do with the gospel. And you'll hear tonight how our children were challenged to come into that relationship, but then also to be responsible and share that relationship once they are involved in it. But here's the thing. Here's the little clicker at the end. Not only were we alienated, not only have we been reconciled, but there is a challenge here that these things all stay in effect because we continue. Now, I know this is sketchy with some people as to how they feel about this, but it says right here that we are without blemish and free from accusation if you continue. That little word, if, means that the possibility exists not to continue. These things are all in effect if you continue. Have you ever seen anybody start a race and not finish it? You ever seen people drop out? You ever watch any of these marathons, those kind of things, long, indeed, races, and people say, I'm too tired. I don't feel good. I don't want to go the rest of the way. They don't persevere. They don't continue. These things happen because we continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Now, I know that there is a teaching out there that says once you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you absolutely cannot get into a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you choose to. Everybody agrees on that part. Everybody agrees that you have to accept Jesus Christ, confess your sins, receive Him into your heart and life. They all agree. But what happens after that, they don't all agree about. So it would seem to me that God's opinion is the only one that counts. And if indeed we believe this is God's word, which I don't know about you, but I do, it says, this goes on, if you continue. So while we are not saved by our own works, there's something to be said with the fact that we know in humanity, no relationship is good if only one person is going to work at it. And that plenty of people have started relationships and chosen not to be involved and gone their separate ways. So I want you to hear something, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The word continue means to remain in a place or a condition. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24, we read these words. But if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked man does, will he live? None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness he is guilty of and because of the sins he has committed, he will die. You understand that? A righteous man, that's somebody who's right, does what's wrong, the righteousness is remembered no more. You understand that? Then look at John chapter 15 in the New Testament. John chapter 15, the words of Jesus, verses 5 and 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, if anyone does not remain in me, continue, abide, go on, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Well, maybe it's just me. But it seems to me that while it is an absolute guarantee that when we are pursuing Christ, we have nothing to worry about, that at the moment that we decide we don't want to do things God's way anymore, whether we have at one point in time initiated a relationship with Him or not, at the point in time that we no longer seek forgiveness, that we allow sin to accumulate in our life and we do not confess it or deal with it, and we act in a rebellious state of mind, that what God is saying here is, you know what? There's nothing I can do about that. Life is still about choices. Obviously, you don't like that. My job is to share the word. I'm not scared. I don't run around in fear of my salvation, but I believe there's a clear statement in the word of God that says, I want to be in love with you as long as you want to be in love with me, and I'll love you no matter what, and I'll always keep my end of the bargain. But I can't force you to do anything. And I'd like to know that you want to be with me. We have peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what the scripture goes on to say. God knows that we're the way we are, and He knows we need help. He knows that if we're going to succeed, we need help. And He promises it to us. He doesn't leave us out there and say, I'm going to leave you to your own devices. He says, here's the situation, here's what I need you to do, and here's how I will help you to accomplish it. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Okay, if you couldn't fall, why would He warn you against it? No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He will provide a way out. How hard is it to find the door if you close your eyes? But if you're alert and you pay attention, God will provide a way out. And then listen to this. In Jude 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Why would this even need to be in here if you couldn't fall? To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. The deal is, it's not like it's a probability, but it is a possibility. God has provided for it. God can deal with it. God wants us to be in right relationship, stay in right relationship, and he's given us everything we need to do that. But he warns us of what happens when we don't focus on him, when we don't stay in relationship to him, when we choose not to pay any attention to his word or to him or anything else about him. It puts us in a difficult situation. We need to continue every morning to wake up and say, Lord, I'm yours and you are mine and I'm glad about it. What do you want to do in my life today and how do you want to use me? And we need to read the word and we just need to follow the disciplines and continue to pursue God. As long as we're pursuing God, anything to worry about. God will help us. But when we get to the point where we think we don't have to pay attention to God anymore. I just spoke to an individual yesterday. Some of these conversations just really thrill me. This individual said to me, he said, well, I'll just have you to know, I don't go to church because the Bible is so contradictory. Because I'll just tell you, it says in one spot, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, and another spot it says, turn the other cheek. And I said, that's right, it does. But it's not contradicting itself. What do you mean? I said, that's the complete opposite. I said, that's right. An eye for an eye was in the Old Testament law, and men were under law, and they couldn't keep the law. The scripture you quoted about turn the other cheek came in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about grace. It's a whole different deal. It's at a different place because he got to this point to take care of the problems of this point. Well, I'll say, you know, can't understand it. I'm not going to church. My grandma didn't go to church, and I'm not going to church. And I just think, you know, I just think as long as you believe there's a God, you're going to be okay. And in the process of that, there were a few expletives added in and other things that, and it's kind of like, well, if you believe there is a God, it would be nice if you would know his word and want to do what it says. Well, I don't have time for that. The enemy's got a lot of people bumfuzzled. Bamboozled. Whatever word you want to put on it. They're confused. But here's what the word says. If you continue, if you persevere. How many of you, they don't even have some of the really cool toys they used to have. The age of technology has kind of messed us up. How many of you ever had one of those inflatable clowns that you would blow them up and they had sand in the bottom of them and you blow them up and man, you would punch those things and they would go down and every once in a while the sand would shift long enough that they would stay down a little bit and then they'd come back up. Sometimes they would come up really fast and whap you in the face and depending on how tall you were, you know, when you were doing it. But that's how we need to be. Sure, there's going to be some stuff out there in life that challenges us. There's going to be some stuff where we get knocked down once in a while, but you can be knocked down and get up and never be knocked out. We need to continue. We need to persevere. I want to read a poem to you. I don't know that it's a great spiritual analogy, but it kind of gets the point. And I just thought it was kind of humorous. So I thought you might enjoy it. It's always nice to lighten up a little bit when something gets so heavy. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. One was an optimistic soul. But the other took the gloomy view. We shall drown, he cried with more ado. So with a last despairing cry, he flung up his legs and said goodbye. Quoth the other frog with a merry grin, I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll just swim around till my strength is spent. Then will I die the more content. Bravely he swam till it would seem his struggles began to churn the cream. On top of the butter at last he stopped, and out of the bowl he gaily hopped. What of the moral? 'Tis easily found. If you can't hop out, keep swimming around. Once we were alienated, through the blood of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, we were reconciled. And life has challenges. Yes, it does. But keep pursuing Jesus. Continue to read the word. Continue to pray. Continue to be faithful. Do the things to pursue God. And he assures you that he has a place in heaven for you. What a great message. What a wonderful good news. It's the message that Paul proclaimed everywhere he went. Come into a relationship with God. Enjoy all the benefits and privileges. Hang in there. God will see you through. I think that's a pretty good message for today, isn't it? I think it still works in this life. Stand with me, if you will. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is the very message that we shared with these children this week in Vacation Bible School. And it's the message that you and I are responsible to continue to share until Jesus takes us out of here, one way or another. Because there are people out there that don't know. There are people out there that haven't heard. And we are Christ's ambassadors. Once alienated, but now reconciled, free from blame and without accusation, if you continue in the faith. Let's not give up. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. Let's continue to persevere and to pursue. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today in just these few moments. And Lord, if there's somebody here who maybe has reached a point of giving up or having begun to fall away, maybe get some drift between them and God, Father, this morning we just in these few moments of time want to open these altars. If there's someone here who would just need a place to pray, to say, Lord, I want you more than I want anything else. Made my mistakes, maybe even committed sin. Lord, you said that you're faithful and just if we confess to forgive. And Father, that's what we want, is your forgiveness. We want to be at peace with you, and we want to be able to share that grace with others. So, Lord, in just these few seconds of time, there's someone here this morning that just needs a place of prayer. Step out and make your way to these altars. You'll find a loving, forgiving God. You'll find God's grace and mercy. You'll find peace for your soul and the promise of an eternity in heaven with Jesus. Not such a bad deal. Anyone this morning that just needs a place to pray, a place to say, God, I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. Anything with any of you that just needs to be laid on the altars and left there before we go this morning. All hearts and minds clear. Can you look God in the eye and say, it's well with my soul? Done everything that he asked you to do, the way he asked you to do it, with the attitude he asked you to do it with. Amen. I trust that you'll have a great day in the Lord. And indeed, those of you who have children, come a little early this evening to prepare for the presentation. We'll have a great time in the Lord's house tonight. Good to have Brother Trevor back with us today. And Trevor, if you would, pray a closing prayer for us, please.